report on and adopt the Sweetwater Union High School District's 2018-19 revised budget and adopt resolution number 4589 to identify the amount of budget reductions needed in 2019 through 2020 and 2020 through 2021. Those are fiscal years. And to require that a list of budget reductions for 2019 for fiscal year 2019-2020 be included in the 2018-19 first interim. First, we will have a staff report on the item.
As Dr. Salkeld is coming to the podium, I would just like to make a few comments. I sent out a letter to all of our employees today, and I kind of want to just share the highlights of that email. Basically, a lot of people were gone during the break when we needed to rebuild our budget for this date, October 8th. I did send an email out on September 26th, kind of letting everybody know where we were at the time, asking for input either on the Google Doc, on our website, or emails, or... And we had a number of meetings across the district. Please know that during the break, lots of work was done to resolve our significant budget challenges. And we are confident to say that working together and only by working together, we've been able to achieve a balanced operating budget and do so in a way that results in the least disruption to staff, continues to put students first, and does not jeopardize our student or staff safety on campus. We immediately after the last board meeting began to reconstruct our 18-19 budget and rebuild it in a way that would meet the identified shortfalls and do so in a way that was solid, that was sound, and compassionate to all stakeholders. So since that September 24th meeting, we immediately began discussing with all of our internal labor partners, other district leaders, as well as outside agencies such as the California Department of Ed, FICMAT, Fiscal Crisis and Management Assistance Team, our county office, to address this current challenge. We appreciate all suggestions from staff and other stakeholders that we heard in meetings, we received via email, or the online survey. And many of those suggestions are being brought forward tonight to our board as some of our budget solutions. Some of those examples include energy savings costs, freezing unfilled positions, reduction in work year for management, and program funding shifts from our general fund unrestricted budgets to more restricted budgets that qualify, such as Title I, Title II, Title III, Title IV. And throughout this entire budget challenge, we believe we've remained pragmatic, honest, and transparent in our efforts. This process has also enabled us to implement some new practices and protocols that will help prevent the situation in the future. We cannot give enough thanks to our labor partners and all of our employee unit groups who were willing to work together during the break and find solutions while not compromising our mission, our beliefs, and our organizational values. Through this email, I invited staff to continue to make recommendations because our work is never done. Going forward, by going to the link, we also invited our employees across the district to linked this board item with all of the attachments that they could get to easily. And we encourage everyone out there to watch our live streaming of this board meeting. So we just want to thank everyone for your participation. There are a lot of people in the room right now that were part of these conversations, and we just can't thank you enough for your involvement and your participation in helping us reach this excellent goal of balancing our operating budget. And so at this time, I'm going to introduce Dr. Jenny Salkeld, our CFO, who will walk us through this presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Superintendent Janney, and good evening, President Hall and board members. So what we'll go through this evening, as you noted here on the agenda, is we're going to go through kind of crosswalk where we were at with our budget starting back in June. So I'll share that information with you in those timelines and milestones. We'll go through the current and multi-year assumptions, what we looked at as we revisited the budget that was presented back in June. And then I'll also share with you what that budget revision looks like, as well as our multi-year projections based on the information we know of as today. And we'll also go through the budget solution specifically, how we ended up closing that shortfall and coming up to a balanced budget for 18-19. And then we'll go through the recommendation. As you see here with the timeline, back on June 25th, there was initial budget adoption that was shared with the board. Based on the information that was available at the time, there were still some things that were moving in terms of the governor's approval of the budget, but we had to progress with the work based on the information that we knew from the May revise. With those changes, once the governor's budget was approved and signed, there's a 45-day, and again, these are all milestones that are in alignment with education code and certain dates that we need to submit that to the board to review. On August 13th, we provided an update in terms of one-time monies, as an example, was originally built into the budget at $344 per ADA, and that was accounted for down to the $184. That's one area that upon the county office review of the budget, they noted that the revenues were overstated in based on June. And then we also shared with the board the cost of living adjustment. There was a slight uptick what was included in June, so that was also included. And was also informing the board at that point in time some information regarding unduplicated percentage that the external auditors had identified during their field work, about 895 students that impact the unduplicated percentage. Again, that was shared with the board at that point in time. And then in September, typically the unaudited actuals are taken to the board by September 15th. As we started to do the work in closing out the fiscal year, it was brought forward that, and we reached out to the county as soon as we saw the difference in terms of our bottom line, that expenditures had exceeded the revenues for 17-18, about $21 million, which also accounted for all of the reserves that were set aside at that point in time. So with that being said, we brought that to the board on the 24th because we needed a little bit more time to put that information together, and we had kept the county office advised of that timing. With that result of a negative $3.5 million operating budget and just a few of the reserves, not including the economic uncertainties, at that point in time, the initial review by the county office indicated a disapproval of our budget. And hence where we're at today. So from that time frame of September 24th to October 8th, and as Dr. Janney mentioned, we've been working very closely with all of our stakeholders, and the finance or the fiscal services team has been working very diligently with all those stakeholders to turn around a balanced budget that you have in your package there with the standardized account code structure report, known as the SACS. And again, that is in accordance with Ed Code. We need to present that to you and receive your approval so that we can submit that to the county office this evening via electronic, and then also a hard copy will be delivered tomorrow. Because now the county office has until November 8th, again in accordance with Ed Code, to review that budget and provide their final decision. What we'll go through here in the next few slides are the assumptions that were taken into account as we reconstructed, rebuilt, you know, different ways of kind of viewing how we looked into looking at that June budget. Now that we have a little bit more information with the governor's budget being approved, you know, we start with our local control funding formula. That is our largest source of funding here at the school district. And so we worked collaboratively because these numbers are not just the fiscal services numbers. These are numbers that are owned by various parties throughout the district, and that we will periodically through our different reporting cycles, such as first interim, second interim, you know, keep the board apprised and the public apprised of the latest information that we have. So what this table indicates are the key factors that we look into for funding purposes for LCFF. Enrollment is one driver, but certainly from what districts get paid is off of the average daily attendance. So we worked closely with our IT department, our facilities planning department, and our research and evaluation department to come up with those percentages of average daily attendance for our 7th and 8th grade grade span of 97%, our 9th and 12th grade of 95%. Now, Dr. Fulcher, as an example, has been working very closely with the ASB presidents. There's an attendance awareness initiative or campaign that has been communicated out to schools, and that's something that we certainly are looking forward to benefiting from that process. So we've got that factored into in terms of those efforts, and we know that the ASB presidents, along with the Student Support Services team, is going to be looking at that periodically. So we're going to look at that data through the reporting cycles. Also, the unduplicated percentage. We've got the adjustment here based on what the external auditors had provided earlier this year. But just as a note, we've got single year currently and then the out years. How school districts get funded are based on a 3-year average. So we've got that also noted accordingly. Well, one other key variable that's not related to district factors and things that the district can somewhat control is the cost of living adjustment. That is, and as I noted there, is included in the adopted state budget. That is driven by the state, and it's one of those key narratives that I want to put in context as we go through the subsequent slides, because these numbers change. But in these out-year projections are the best information that we've received either from the Department of Finance or from School Services of California. But we do have the budget built in with this revised number of 3.7%. And here's this particular slide provides that historical context. As you see, starting in 13-14 when LCFF was implemented by the governor and the state legislature,